Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life Body. Welcome. I'm going to be sharing with you today from the book of Revelation in the New Testament. The revelation of St. John the Divine. The revelation of the apostle, the beloved disciple, John. I'll be sharing from passages beginning with that listed as being chapter 4, and intend to proceed on through those which are numbered chapter 5 and chapter 6. So beginning with the passage listed as being chapter 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So returning to the beginning of the first of these passages, that which is referenced as being chapter 4. It is written, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. I don't know about you, but I have yet to experience anything like that. A voice spoke to the disciple, the apostle John, and it was as if it were a trumpet talking to him. An amazing description. And this voice said, come up hither. So what this voice was saying was entirely understandable, coherent, clear, plain. And yet the voice was so unusual. It was as if it were a trumpet. Just an amazing thing. Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Which must be hereafter. Not which may be, not which shall be even, but which must be, which have to happen. And these things, which must be hereafter, which John was told of 2 millennia ago, or more. They must happen. They must occur. They must be done before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when these so well-meaning hireling pastors and ministers and theologians proclaim purportedly from the Lord God Almighty, that the Lord Jesus Christ could return at any moment, they are proclaiming falsehood, error, gross error, inexcusable error, and intellectual dishonesty. And there is nothing in this life that is worse to be dishonest about than the Word of God. In teaching the Word of God, in preaching the Word of God. But come up hither and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Here we are now, 2 millennia later, approximately, give or take. Hereafter is here. It is at the doors, as it were. It has drawn nigh. And immediately I was in the Spirit. John was in the Spirit. What does that mean? Oh, well, he was dancing up and down the aisles of the church. Singing out hallelujahs. Jubilantly, joyously praising God. No, that's not what it means. He was in the Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit of God, endued with the Spirit from on high and power from on high, enlightened powerfully by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, and yet, as I mentioned previously, there is this matter of a distinction between the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, and the seven spirits of God. And I don't have it figured out. I do not have it figured out. I am sure there are illustrious theologians that do. But, and I wish I did, but. And immediately, instantly, I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Going back to Ezekiel, the very, very beginning of Ezekiel, Ezekiel 1, the throne of God is described. Now, perhaps it varies from time to time, but at least in Ezekiel, it was described this way. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. So again, I do not know whether the throne of God always appears as a sapphire stone, sapphire blue. It certainly is within God's power to change it from time to time. But that is how it's described and how God is described. But back to Revelation. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And if you look up jasper and sardine and you are thereafter, as it were, sent to look up some other words, such as sardius and chalcedony and carleon and what have you. The picture that is given, which I do not trust, but nonetheless, is of color that is reddish, all the way from ruby to reddish brown. And it makes me think, again, of the descriptions of the Lord Jesus Christ, the color of his exposed members being like brass that burned in a fire, and also of copper and reddish color. But that's not to say that that is correct. He that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Again, in Ezekiel, it spoke of a rainbow, didn't it? And here we have a rainbow like unto an emerald, emerald green. I mean, these fabulous, beautiful colors, sapphire blue and emerald green. It's rather amazing. But again, in Ezekiel, he did not specify the color of the rainbow. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. That makes me think of the typical traditional rainbow that we see that is multicolored, and which, of course, the sodomite activists have appropriated, stolen, taken as a logo for them. Well, nothing that defiles, nothing that does wickedness, corruption, depravity shall inherit the kingdom of God. Contrary to what various pastors and theologians would have us believe. And I do not mean the majority of pastors and theologians, but there certainly are some that would have us believe that the depraved are pleasing to God. But here, in this description in Revelation, the rainbow seemingly is described as unto an emerald, a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Yes, depending on how you read it, you could perhaps say, well, the emerald, that could be referring to the throne rather than the rainbow. And a traditional-looking rainbow. That's a possible way to view it or interpretation. But it states, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Yes, we have white raiment spoken of, but again, no mention of a white throne, no mention of the throne being white. But they were clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And spirits is capitalized. The seven spirits of God, previously mentioned in Revelation. But before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. You notice it doesn't say a pool of glass like unto crystal. It doesn't say a pond of glass like unto crystal. It does not say a lake of glass like unto crystal. It says a sea of glass like unto crystal. A vast, vast, vast body of water. Well, you might say, wait a minute. There's the Sea of Galilee, which was also renamed the Sea of Tiberias, courtesy of the Romans. But that is true. There is that, which is akin to a lake rather than an ocean, rather than the Mediterranean Sea and what have you. But in any case, it is a large body of water. Well, it is described as being a sea of glass like unto crystal. That I don't understand. Glass like unto crystal. Well, aren't they both clear? I mean, it just seems like a strange description. But in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. These beasts are not to be confused with the beast and the other beast, the false prophet, the servants of Satan. No, these are God's beasts. And in Ezekiel, beasts just like them are described as being cherubs or cherubim. That's right. These are godly beasts created by the only creative genius of all time, the Creator God. And instead of being relegated to being out in the backyard or the back 40 or in a barn or something else, which is the way that some people treat their dogs, here God Almighty has these beasts right on the throne, right at the throne, right in the throne is in the midst of the throne. Fascinating. This elevated honor, this amazing, loving, honoring status, stature, treatment for these creatures that are described as beasts. They are not ordinary beasts by any means. They are holy beasts. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf or an ox, which is also a description of a cherub. And the third beast had a face as a man. A face as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. I don't understand that. What other kind of eagle is there but a flying eagle? But a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him. They could all fly. Not just the flying eagle, but they could all fly. I don't know when's the last time you saw a flying lion, a flying calf or ox, or a flying man, but they could all fly. And could they ever fly? As we are told in the book of Ezekiel, the great prophet priest Ezekiel in the Old Testament. The four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Now, the description I should hasten to add, and I have before, when I have preached, taught concerning Revelation, is the description of the beasts in Ezekiel differs from this description. Here we have each beast having one face. In the book of Ezekiel, the great prophet priest, each beast has all four faces. The lion and the calf or ox, as it is described in Ezekiel, and cherub, and the face of a man and the face of an eagle or flying eagle, all four. And meanwhile, his cherubs, he describes them later as cherubs or cherubim, they each have four wings instead of six. But they flew. Their flight, their movement was like lightning. It was that sudden, that instantaneous, that amazing. But back to these in Revelation. They rest not day and night. They were full of eyes within. The four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they are described differently with regard to that in another place or two. And they rest not day and night. So they sleep not at all. They rest not at all. But day and night, all day, all night, they say, they proclaim, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. This is an amazing thing. Interesting that God Almighty is pleased to receive honor from these beasts. He's not embarrassed about it. Not embarrassed for these beasts, these creatures, to be honoring him, praising him. No. They do it night and day, continuously, before the throne of God. Wouldn't you think that would be a terrible distraction from God? You know, how is he going to hear any prayers while that is going on? I mean, really, how is he going to be able to think? How is he going to be able to do great things while all of that commotion is going on right in the midst of his throne? But what's more, as if that weren't enough, these elders, it says that when the beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, that the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne. And they worship him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. They don't do that one time. John isn't saying he saw this one time. It is continuous. The beasts honor, glorify, praise God, and every time they do, and they do it continuously, night and day, the elders fall down off of their seats before the throne, and they cast their crowns before the throne, and they honor and glorify God. How on earth? It couldn't on earth. But how in heaven? Even in heaven, how can God Almighty think of anything and hear anything else? It's an amazing picture, really. Oh, well, brother, you don't understand. That's not really what's going on. Really? Well, it's what the Word of God says. Do you have something more authoritative than the Holy Word of God? And if so, what? Is it? Oh, yes, brother, it's the commentaries of this illustrious theologian. Oh, well, there you go. Oh, it's the teachings of this famous pastor, mega church pastor. Oh, well, in that case, I must defer to the superior wisdom of those great ones as compared to the Word of God Almighty himself. No matter what anyone says, no matter what you have heard from anybody and everybody for all of your lifetimes, it is absolutely, critically important that you pay greater heed to the Word of God, the Holy Bible, than anything else. Everything else is subordinate to the Word of God. But it amazes me that so much in Christian circles is contrary to the Word of God. Not only not consistent with it, but diametrically contrary to it. Such as Satan breathed, if you will, man-made psychology. Oh, brother, we have Christian psychology. Really? Do you have Christian pornography too? Christian ghetto rap music? Oh, yes, there is so-called Christian rap. It's abomination, but there is such a thing. Just slap that name Christian on everything and, you know, salt it with some Christian buzzwords, and that makes it Christian, holy, acceptable to God, right? No. But there is so much in the Christian circles that is diametrically contrary to the Word of God. So much in theological seminaries, so much in these divinity schools, teaching of psychology and the so-called humanities, social sciences, so-called, preferring that to the Word of God, preferring that corruption to the Word of God, in theological seminaries, in divinity schools, Darwinian evolution, in Christian universities, Christian colleges, and the list goes on. But the Lord God Almighty alone is worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for he has created all things, and for his pleasure they are and were created. And yet, strangely enough, God Almighty created evil, and he permits evil ones to do evil on this earth, even to the godly, the good, the best. This life, you might get the idea from language like that, that all things were created for his pleasure. For his pleasure, they are and were created. You might get the idea, and you certainly will get the idea from a great many pastors and Christian teachers and Christian leaders and what have you, that this life is intended to be full, abundant, joyous, pleasureful, and so forth. That is not the overarching purpose of this life. And in fact, God permits great suffering, horrendous suffering, not just in terms of the type of suffering, but the length of suffering. Because the purpose of this life is to determine whom shall inherit eternal life. This is focused, the focal point of this is on those whose names are written in the book of life, to determine, will they still be written in the book of life when this temporal, or temporal, if you prefer, lifetime is over? When this lifetime is over, Christ's millennial reign begins on the earth. When Christ's millennial reign ends on the earth, this earth passes away. There was mention here in God's word of living, if you will, worshiping God on this earth, seemingly, ongoingly, continuously. But it is only up until the end of Christ's millennial reign. Thereafter, it shall be in the new Jerusalem, which shall come down from God. But continuing on. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, the Lord God Almighty, in his right hand, a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Now, when I've read this before, I've always thought that, of course, the seven seals seal this book. It is sealed. It is closed. And yet John says, he describes this book as being written within and on the backside. A book written within and on the backside. How is it that he stated it was written within when he had not seen the insides of it, seemingly? Well, there is the possibility that that description pertains to what he sees after the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah, Jesus, opens the seals and opens the book. It may well pertain to that. Very likely. But I couldn't help but wonder, because of the way it is worded throughout here, whether it is different than that. The description, though, that he gives, a book written within and on the backside, it speaks of typical hardcover or paperback books, even though it doesn't say anything about the front cover, written within and on the backside, the back flap, the back of the cover. My Bibles are not written on the back. And they do say a little something on the front and on the spine, but not on the back. But this book is written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Now, if the commas had been placed differently, you could say, well, no, it's saying on the backside, sealed with seven seals. But that's not where the comma is. A book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel. I just find this to be curious, because all angels are strong. Every angel, as I've mentioned, that is described in the Bible is a male figure. And they are all strong. There are no weak angels. There just aren't. But there are some that are stronger. So strong does not seem like the right description. It should say a mighty angel. And I happen to think that that word is wrong, either translated incorrectly or incorrect prior to that. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And again, as I read that, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" Shouldn't it be, "Who is worthy to loose the seals and to open the book?" I don't mean to be splitting hairs here, but it seems like it's in the wrong order. But not if I'm misunderstanding the actual picture of the book. If the seals are not on the outside of the book, enclosing the book, but rather are placed within the book, then that would be different. But who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And here again we have the same sequence, the same order. To open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. I don't know if that is just written incorrectly, or whether it bespeaks this sealed book being sealed differently than I understand. But I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of God, I beheld, and lo, in the midst, within, in the middle of, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven Spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. The seven spirits, again, spirits is capitalized. This is the very same as the seven spirits of God in the previous passage. And the seven spirits mentioned prior to that in the book of Revelation. The seven spirits of God. But here, this lamb has just previously been described as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. And yet now, standing in the midst of the throne, in the midst of the four beasts, in the midst of the 24 elders, or 24 elders, stands a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. This should not be construed to mean that God only answers prayers of saints, of the elect. No. What about those who are genuinely, truly, honestly seeking to know the truth of God, but who have yet to believe fully on the Lord? Is it to say God does not hear their prayers? No. But here, the four beasts and the 24 elders, they have these golden vials full of the prayers of saints, the prayers of the elect. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof." Exactly the same sequence. Exactly the same order. Instead of "thou art worthy to open the seals and open the book," "thou art worthy to take the book." They don't say open the book, but to take the book and to open the seals thereof. So there is that difference. "For thou wast slain," "thou art worthy, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." This is interesting because, among other things, who is it that's saying this? It's the four beasts and the 24 elders. "Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." I mean, seemingly, the beasts are also saying this, singing this. There doesn't show any distinction in terms of this is only the 24 elders. No. Seemingly the beasts are singing this too. But assuredly the elders are. "Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." These elders are representing many peoples, many kindreds, many tongues, many nations. "And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Very interesting. You know, you go back to the Hebrew tribes God brought up out of bondage in Egypt. And he commanded them to worship him. They were not to make any kings to themselves. They were not to imitate the nations, the heathen, the pagans. They were not. But the Lord God Almighty, here after this life on this earth, things are to be different. His holy kingdom, the kingdom of God, the reason for making no kings is because God was to be their king. No man was to be king, only God. But God, after this life, seemingly during the millennial reign of Christ, shall make kings of men, priests, kings. It's curious. The Lord Jesus Christ, being King of kings and Lord of lords, that fits perfectly with God Almighty and His holy kingdom. But this, I just find it curious and interesting, but curious. And hast made us unto our God, kings and priests, subordinate to God, for sure. And we shall reign on the earth. Again, this is what I meant with regard to this about on earth. This pertains only until the end of Christ's millennial reign. Thereafter, this earth and the heavens shall pass away, and the new Jerusalem shall come down from heaven. Where shall it stop? I don't know. Here somewhere. But that shall not be the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. This is not speaking of saints. This is not speaking of the elect. This is not speaking of the cloud of witnesses, all of those who were martyred. This is only speaking of angels. And they are distinct from the saints, from the elect, from the martyrs. And the number is in excess of 100 million. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. 100 million and millions. This is one thing that seemingly Tyndale got wrong in his New Testament. He has thousands of thousands, just the latter part of that, not the 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. But it's a vast multitude of angels. The voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. No mention of the elect, no mention of the saints, no mention of the martyrs. This is the angels. And it is an army of angels of many more millions than 100 million. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And now it gets interesting. "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever." When is the last time that you heard an animal on this earth clearly, coherently, speaking out spontaneous praise and worship of God? I say spontaneous, but you notice they are all in sync, like singing a song. And you might say, well, what about a parrot? Well, a parrot imitates. But yes, there are parrots that can imitate speech. There are, absolutely. What about sea otters? Dolphins, bottlenose dolphins, that is. Porpoises, whales, lions and tigers and bears and wolves and coyotes. And not only wild dogs, but domestic breeds of dogs. Man's best friend. A well-deserved term for the overwhelming majority. And all of the other animals, when is the last time you heard them speak, let alone do something like this? It is absolutely astonishing, incredible. Every creature in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, saying blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Try that on for size. Islamists, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, Zen Buddhists, Confucianists, Taoists, and all the rest. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. So what are we going to see? Are we going to see him open the seven seals one after another and then open the book and then read from the book? No. Interestingly enough, no. That's not the description John gives us, which was given to him by the angel of the Lord, which was given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ, which was given to him by God the Father. And the Holy Spirit got in there too. I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, the sound of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, not a rainbow, but a war bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. His purpose was to conquer. He went forth conquering and to conquer. And when the Lamb had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." It's very strange. Again, the image I've always had, I just accepted that it was this book that was sealed, closed, and sealed with seven seals. I just accepted that, just thought that, assumed that, accepted that. And so then the Lamb will break those seals, open those seals, open the book. That's not what is described here. Nor is it a matter of reading what is in the book. Instead, it is like a multimedia presentation, you know. It is a vision that is given. A vision. A vision within a vision, because this whole thing is a vision for John. He is receiving this revelation by vision. And he's in the spirit. It's just an amazing, incredible thing. But I digress. And when the Lamb had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast. Isn't that interesting? Who is it that receives the honor? And this was a very great honor, and is a very great honor, to declare these extraordinary visions within the vision. The honor was not given to some of the 24 elders, no. It was not given to some mighty angels, no. It was given to these four creatures, these four beasts, these four cherubim, these four cherubs. Interestingly enough, the first beast is described as one of the four beasts, but thereafter, the second beast, the third beast, the fourth beast. I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Do you notice anything different in this description from the description of the first on the white horse who had a battle bow or war bow, a battle bow, who was given a crown? This second one is not given a crown. But they should kill one another. take peace from the earth, and they should kill one another. And when the Lamb had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. No mention of a crown for this one either, for this rider. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." The value of money or mane or mene varies. Certainly with inflation and hyperinflation and what have you. But it's interesting, the relation between these grains, that the wheat is much more highly valued than the barley, which is true elsewhere in the Bible. And when the Lamb had opened the fourth seal, let me just say this too. What is the significance of that? This rider on this black horse that has this pair of balances. And it is proclaimed from the midst of the four beasts, from the midst of the throne of God, that a measure of wheat should be a penny, three measures of barley a penny, and that the oil and the wine not be hurt. There is more to that than I understand, but it certainly speaks of very close, definite measurement of valuation for these staple foods and food items and drink from the throne of God Almighty. It's very curious. It's particularly curious. What goes along with war, with warfare, with total war, destruction of everything, stealing of everything, taking of everything? And in the midst of that, of this massive warfare between these opposing forces, God Almighty speaks concerning food and drink and of maintaining it such that the people should not starve to death. And so forth, at this point in time, anyway. But that is soon to change, so soon to change. And when the Lamb had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. Not a white horse, but a pale horse. and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. Death and hell together. And power was given unto them, unto death and hell. And they are capitalized. Power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill, to murder, to destroy with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. The four sword judgments, as described in the Old Testament, are the sword, or warfare and violence. Hunger, starvation, famine. Famine. Death, pestilence. Pestilence, disease, plagues are termed death. And the beasts of the earth, the noisome beasts of the earth. And that is what is described here. That death and hell shall wield all of these four sore judgments of God. War, violence, famine, pestilence, and the noisome beasts of the earth. And with them shall destroy one quarter of the earth's population, of the people of the earth. So that was short-lived about securing the food and drink for the population, for the people. Now God allows capital D, death, and hell, capital H, hell, to ravage and savage the earth and to destroy one quarter of the population. And when the Lamb opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain, murdered, martyred for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. This is what martyrs are. Not Islamist terrorists, Christians who are murdered for the word of God and for their testimony which they hold. And these cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be murdered as they were should be fulfilled, that they should rest yet for a little season. John received this revelation, this vision, approximately 2 millennia ago. That little season has been approximately 2 millennia. and what is coming are the worst times on this earth that there have ever been. And I beheld when the Lamb had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Amazing. This is all before the return of the Lord. The heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. Fascinating description, isn't it? I mean, really fascinating. And if God could cause the heaven to depart that way, to roll it up, he could roll it back out again. Every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Now, elsewhere in God's word, it speaks of the land being made plain, flat. But I'm not saying that that's what this is referring to. But every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Every mountain. In North America here, the Sierra Nevadas and the coastal range and the Rocky Mountains and the others. The magnificent, enormous Rocky Mountains up through Canada, along British Columbia, through British Columbia, on up past Yukon and Northwest Territory, and the magnificent mountains in Alaska. And of course, the Pyrenees, the Alps, the Andes, the Himalayas, the great mountains, not just individual mountains like Mount Fuji, Mount Kilimanjaro, Mount Katahdin, but mountain ranges moved out of their places. Imagine that. The power, the force to do that, and the effect on the earth, on the entire earth, just massive. And every island moved out of its place. Now, I don't know what all God is including as islands. You know, assuredly, he's including the islands in the Caribbean, including Puerto Rico. And assuredly, he's including Guam, you know, these territories of the United States, and Okinawa, and such as that. But what about in the Canary Islands and Cyprus and Crete, Sicily? But what about Ireland? What about Britain, Great Britain, UK? What about Japan, the main large body mass of Japan and all the other islands What about the Philippines? I don't know. I don't know if those, and of course Hawaii, but and the Solomon Islands, how many of these are considered islands? And how many are considered continents? You know. They are not considered continents now on this earth by us. So does God consider them islands? Are they all going to be moved? And if they are moved out of their place, what will be the effect? Will those islands effectively be drowned? Especially those that are so very near extremely deep parts of the ocean, channels of the ocean and so forth, as compared to Great Britain and what have you. But it's just an amazing thing. God Almighty is able to do all things. Nothing is too hard for him. He knows no impossibility. He is the sole creative genius. When we talk about, oh, well, there's no precedent for that. That's unprecedented. Well, God is the one who makes precedents. And he can go on making new precedents and changing precedents as he chooses to. When I say changing, I mean, it's one thing to make new precedents, but he can literally change former precedents. He can do and he can undo. But what followed this? This great earthquake, the sun becoming black as sackcloth of hair, the moon as blood, the stars of heaven falling unto the earth, the heaven departing as a scroll when it is rolled together, every mountain and island being moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. It seems like that would be a very hazardous, dangerous thing to do. If the mountains are being moved, do you really want to be climbing around in the mountains and trying to hide yourself in the dens and the caves in the rocks of the mountains? And they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Very interesting. It's like someone taking their own life so someone else won't take it. It seems futile. Here, they would rather be entombed in the mountains than to be found by God. God has now demonstrated his power, his fury, his wrath, his almighty power, knowledge and wisdom, sufficient such that those enemies of God seek not just to be hidden, but to be caved in. to die rather than to meet God. Oh, yes, if we die, if we kill ourselves, if we are killed this way, that way, the other way, then we won't have to face God. Then there will be no judgment. Really? That's not the way it works. How many young people, and not so young people, but definitely including young people, even including children, kill themselves, allow themselves to be persuaded to kill themselves, bullied, harassed, shamed, whatever, into taking their own lives or into having doctors, physicians, medical professionals, and others put them to death. Because then that's going to make all of their problems disappear. It doesn't work that way. And it's a tragedy that so many who are not wicked, not evil, are pushed into this, or this is forced upon them, such as court-ordered starvation and dehydration for people, typically young people, often young women, who have been debilitated by violent attacks, car crashes, vehicle crashes, disease, and other such things, medical conditions. Even while the government, which claims that, well, you know, they're not really alive and it costs too much to keep them. And yet, meanwhile, the government spends fortunes taken from taxpayers to keep the most heinous, monstrous murderers alive and comfortable, and then to release them, and also to do all manner of monstrous evils, such as are being done to children in this day and age, courtesy of the sodomite agenda that has reached such heights in the government regimes of the West, the democratic, free, leftist, socialist regimes of the West. But the great day of the wrath of the Lamb . When is this coming? What is this pertaining to? The return of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be after certain things have taken place. After Satan has taken control of this earth. After the beast has come out of the bottomless pit, which is after the rise of the 10 kings, 10 wicked kings. And those 10 kings, or 7 of those 10 kings, if the beast overthrows, destroys 3 of them, those kings, the beast, the other beast, the false prophet, known as the false prophet, Satan, the devil, the great dragon, that old serpent. They shall enslave the entire earth and the last nation standing. The last free nation standing shall be tiny, tiny Israel. And when Israel is attacked, invaded by this massive worldwide force under the beast who is under Satan, then the Lord shall return. Return to Israel, specifically, to Jerusalem. And that shall be the great day of his wrath. Heavenly Father, Holy God, Lord and King, Master, Savior, hallowed be thy name. Holy, holy, holy be the name of the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are filled with thy glory, but this earth is full of terrible evil and wickedness. Holy God, Lord and King, Master, Savior, take thy power to thee, rule and reign. Be magnified from the border of Israel, throughout Israel, round and about Israel. Show thyself strong and mighty upon the behalf of thy suffering people, thy suffering church, throughout this earth. Save Ukraine by thy spirit, by thine angels, by the captain of thy host, for thy glory, for thy pleasure, for thine honor. Bring vast multitudes to thee in response to thy mighty, miraculous deliverance, rescue, and saving of Ukraine from the terrible, evil, monstrous, murderous, torturous, rapacious ones sent by the evil, satanic leader of the Russian fascist regime to savage and destroy and to enslave Ukraine. Save Ukraine. Get the honor and glory upon the evil, fascist, totalitarian pharaoh of Russia. And those in amongst his forces who are wicked, who are evil, who are murderous destroyers of the good. All glory, all praise, all thanksgiving, all worship, all honor be thine, holy God, now and ever. Blessed be he who cometh in the name of the Lord, in spirit and truth, in word and deed, in power and might, even so. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, and account us worthy to stand together before thee at thy coming and to serve thee together forever. In Jesus' holy name, soon coming King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen.